The Brinkley matter? Good morning.
May it please the court, Jennifer Winkler on behalf of Jeffrey Brinkley. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This case is a constitutional challenge to a three strikes sentence imposed by a trial judge. So under the Sixth Amendment, Brinkley had the right to have a jury find the existence of any fact that the law makes essential to his punishment, but I'd like to start with a quote. The problem with the Almendarez-Torres arises because the government is rarely satisfied to do what the prior conviction's exemption permits it to do. That is, the government is almost never content to prove the fact of a prior conviction.
Can you address Jones? You didn't file a reply brief, right?
I missed the first part of your question.
State versus Jones, you didn't file a reply
brief. No, I didn't file a reply brief.
Would you please address why that case doesn't control together with Witherspoon?
Well, I don't like Jones. I don't think it makes any sense. I think it's inconsistent with the Fifth Amendment. The Sixth Amendment requirement that any fact except that of the prior conviction. So if we're truly going to be considering the Almendarez-Torres exception narrowly, I believe Jones is inconsistent with that. Now, I know that doesn't help you because...
Or you.
Or me, but I hate Jones and I'm confused by it, but I'm going to try to distinguish it here. Jones is a different circumstance. It involves a community custody finding under the SRA, of course. I think the case that actually handles that better is the Ninth Circuit's decision in Butler versus Curry. And because that's a probation status case, and that is a case that is cited.
Isn't that an element, though?
It's cited in our brief. It's probation. It's a probation status case, and I believe it's out of California. And that's in the brief. That's one of the cases that are cited. And maybe on rebuttal, I'll give you a quote from Butler versus Curry because it's over there. But
if Jones is, we're bound by Jones.
Right. I don't think you're bound by Jones, and here's why. And I know that's what you're waiting for me to say, because Jones involves looking at a pre-sentence investigation report, and it's like a binary determination, 0 or 1. He's on probation. He's not on community custody.
So it wouldn't matter the dates in the judgment and sentence. In that context, I mean, you'd have to look at the date of the judgment and sentence, for example, and compare that to the date of the offense.
Right? That's what they're trying to say that they can do in Jones, but I don't think that they can do that for the reasons articulated by the dissent. But what they do discuss is, well, gosh, we can look at these very closely related documents, such as the pre-sentence investigation report, and gosh, it's a yes, he's on probation, and that's all we're doing. And one of the ways we've tried to distinguish that is to say that what is being asked here is for a comparison, and that comparison of crime, conviction, that takes us outside of the Almendarez-Torres exception and makes it more like these removal proceedings cases where we're trying to compare the two dates. Now, I know
these facts that are intimately tied to the prior conviction. Butler is a case that occurs after a conviction. That's a very critical distinction, is it not?
Well, Jones is the same as Butler, I think.
Why?
Because it's a community custody determination. Is this person on community custody? Maybe I'm not understanding the meat of your question.
Well, this case involves prior convictions. And under Apprendi, that's one of the exceptions to the rule. And then Jones said, well, not only that, but don't we also consider this to be a closely related fact?
Yes, and I don't think that's consistent with the Sixth Amendment, and I don't think that's consistent with Apprendi's very circumscribed concept. Actually, the way that Apprendi treats Almendarez-Torres is almost more narrow than Almendarez-Torres itself. It's just such a reluctance to look at anything besides the fact of prior conviction. I think we've articulated there's a couple reasons why, although these are facts that you can look at this date, but the very comparison of these dates takes it outside of the Almendarez-Torres exception. And also, we've discussed, as in the Irby case, there's no incentive to have the date of the crime correct. There's no incentive, and that goes back to Lavery and Ortega. The fact finder is required to do this comparison and to look at these dates, and rather than just looking at the conviction and the date of the conviction, which is something that the federal circuits have said you can do under the Armed Career Criminal Act, we're looking at this comparison. And this is the distinction that we're drawing. I realize Jones is a stumbling block for us. I think Jones is horrible, and I know that doesn't get me anywhere. But
why exactly do you think it is horrible? I mean, in other words, is this... Do you feel that there's room here for a jury to disagree with the court about making this determination?
I do, because we have
to. It wouldn't be obvious, let's say, if the court makes a mistake and it goes up to the next higher level of court.
I missed that part.
Well, okay. So, I mean, I guess just to return to my question, you seem to be hinting that as a policy matter, that this is horrible, and I'm not following. I mean, it's horrible because it means that you don't have a chance to have jury nullification of the fact of the prior conviction. But setting that aside, what could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Would a jury realistically make a different finding about this than a court?
Yeah, I think that they could, because now the defendant has an incentive to get the date of conviction right, and that wouldn't open up. I know there's been some concern that we're going to be reopening a whole new jury trial in these prior convictions. This is pretty circumscribed itself. This is just the date. And actually, we're talking about this comparison, and so it's not it goes back to,
I'm trying to hear something that shocks my conscience. You think, this is horrible. This is terrible that juries can't decide this.
Well, the sixth line, I don't want to fall back. Well, I'm going to fall back on a bright line rule. The Sixth Amendment says anything other than the fact of a prior conviction. And, well, the U.S. Supreme Court's interpretation of the Sixth Amendment says that, and I believe that we're going outside of that. So it doesn't matter if it's harmless. The Salazar-Lopez case says, well, gosh, it's harmless, and we don't have that test. But it's not the question is not whether they're going to come to the same result. The question is, does this violate the Sixth Amendment?
Thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Seth Aaron Fine, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for Snohomish County, representing the respondent, the state of Washington. There have been repeated attacks on the prior conviction exception of Almendarez-Torres. So far, neither the U.S. Supreme Court nor the Washington Supreme Court has been willing to undo that exception. Today, you're asked to undo it by indirection or reduce it to insignificance. In counsel's words, the state is almost never content to rely on their very narrow concept of what the conviction, the exception, applies. Now, the Washington Supreme Court has, of course, not construed it that narrowly. The Jones case takes a broad view and says that it applies generally to recidivism determinations. As for the argument that violates the Sixth Amendment is going to have to be addressed to some other court. This court is bound by the decisions of the Washington Supreme Court unless there is clear contrary authority from the U.S. Supreme Court, which there is not. We are dealing with a classic recidivism scheme where the only question that the court had to determine was, did the commission of each of the prior offenses follow one of the prior convictions? Now, there's hardly any recidivism question that's more classic than that. Now, this issue has not escaped notice nationwide. There have been numerous courts that have looked into similar statutes, and I cited in my brief two cases that involve very similar, if not identical, statutes. An Illinois three-strike statute was almost identical, required the exact same sequence of crime, conviction, crime, conviction, crime. And the court there said that it fell within the prior exception, prior conviction exception. There's also a Louisiana case which involved a four-strike statute, and the law there was a little bit different. Each offense had to be within 10 years of the expiration of the maximum sentence on the prior offense. But, you know, that scheme is a little bit different, but it still required consideration of the date of the prior convictions and the date of the prior offenses, and that court as well said that it was within the exception. This case is governed by Jones. It's a proper application of the prior conviction recidivism exception. This sentence should be affirmed.
Thank you.
All right, I've got my Butler versus Curry quote, and that's that the narrow prior conviction exception applies only to facts directly reflected in the documents of conviction, not to secondary facts that are derived or inferred from a prior conviction or from the conviction documents, and it's citing the court guard case. And I believe that is, in fact, why Jones is terrible, and I know I'm not going to get far with that, but Jones talks about, the Jones dissent talks about everything you need to, all these documents you need to draw on, all these facts you need to draw on to get from point A, conviction, to point B, which is whether this person's on community custody or not. And that was the case even more so back in 2005, because the community custody statutes were even more, or were even less certain as to what term the accused person would ultimately end up serving. The cases cited by the state, I know I haven't gotten past Jones necessarily in the minds of your honors, but the cases cited by the state are a sideshow, and I think that we need to avoid going the route of this recidivism punishment dichotomy. The Rivera case, which is cited by the state, says that this is a determination that is intertwined with recidivism, and therefore Blakely does not apply. That's, I guess, so 2005. I think that we're past that in this state. We don't, if it's punishment, then it's Blakely. If there's no recidivism elements dichotomy, this is a punishment. It takes it outside of the standard range. So we're asking that this court take a hard look at Jones, at the fact that it's not necessarily bound by Jones, because the facts here are absolutely distinguishable, and for this court to go back to the root of Jones, which is Apprendi, and apply what Apprendi says, and not take the temptation to go further away from the fact of prior conviction. So we're asking that this court reverse Mr. Brinkley's life sentence and that it go back before a jury. Thank you.